Welcome to episode 30 of Mac and Cheese featuring Mac Mail and Graham Hicks.
And today we're going to make you hungry.
Because not only because I'm the cheese, but because we're going to talk about Edmonton's, I think, sterling collection of restaurants.
The food scene.
I am always so ticked off when people start bad-mouthing Edmonton and they say, well, you know, there's nowhere to eat. You know, your jaw drops in astonishment, and then you just to one-up them, you start mentioning, okay, have you tried this restaurant or this restaurant or this restaurant? They draw blanks, right? So there's enough food variety here as there is in New York City or San Francisco. You know, quit putting it down, folks. There's so much.
Yep, lots of great variety. Maybe not the same quantity, but we don't have as many people either as New York. So
no,
I used to think that Calgary had a bit of a more vibrant food scene, but I have to tell you, looking at their latest list of top restaurants from Avenue Calgary, there's a lot of familiar names on that list too. So I think Edmonton's doing quite well in the new category as well as the, you know, old favorites that we love to eat at category.
So the reason we're doing this is because a couple of magazines and whatnot have put out their sort of best restaurants of 2013. What do you think, Mac? What are you seeing and what do you agree with and what do you don't?
So let's start with Avenue Edmonton. They did their best restaurants of 2014. And number one, best overall, Range Road. Have you been to Range Road?
Yeah, I think that was a very good choice. And matter of fact, I should mention here that I do review for the Edmonton Sun, and I'm not a gourmand. I just like good food.
And I guess I'll add that I'm usually the tag along when Sharon reviews for Only Here for the Food.ca.
Tough jobs, but you know someone's got to do it.
Yeah, it's a hard life.
Range Road was, I gave it a 5 out of 5, and I think in the 3 years I've been reviewing, I've done, this will be my third 5 out of 5. So it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And especially what amazed me was they did a liver, but it was they kill a cow every week, right? Or they have this cow delivered, and they use every little piece of the cow. So goes the
nose to tail.
The nose to tail.
Yeah.
And so they do serve, I forget what they call it, all the offal or whatever. Yeah, the offal of the day.
Right? Yeah.
It was liver. But it was liver like I'd never, ever, ever had before. You know, liver we associate with those cellophane packages, Safeway, and your mother cooking it up, and you think, oh, God, liver and onions, right?
Yeah.
This was the tastiest, most beautiful, finest, as if it was like a foie gras, only, and within a crusting, it was out of this world good.
Oh, that does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
They were also named best new restaurant, so best overall and best new restaurant in the magazine. And I've been a fan of Chef Lebsack's for quite a while.
Yeah.
We went to one of his Range Road dinners, which inspired the restaurant. So he'd actually go out to a farm and, you know, have a dinner on the farm, cooking only using ingredients and stuff from the farm. And
he's quite fanatical about this, isn't he?
So he can be, yes, definitely. Yeah. But just amazing what he can do with the simplest ingredients. I remember when we went to Range Road for dinner, one of the dishes I had was a salad, and it was a tomato salad, and I've never tasted tomatoes like that. It was amazing. Like, it's so simple, but it was just so good.
I remember that dish. You'd have to do, and I think they really are fanatical about doing everything from scratch. I mean, the amount of prep that must go on in that kitchen is astounding.
Yeah, no, an incredible amount of work that they do.
Okay, enough of this loving for Blair Lebsack. Let's keep going.
Okay, so number two on the best overall, also on the best new restaurants, Tavern 1903.
Yep, again, I would agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you liked it?
This is, it's, again, same folks that bought us Hardware Grill, that really established Hardware Grill. But Hardware Grill, you can't walk out of there with, you know it's going to cost $120 a person, just off the top.
Yeah.
What he's done, and I'm having quick name blank here, the wonderful chef there, it's going to come to us, this is embarrassing. Sorry, but 1903 is Hardware Grill gone affordable in this incredible decor. It's the old, it's the recreation of the Alberta Hotel.
Right, yep.
And they've managed to save a whole pile of the original stuff. One half of it is like really cool, as if you're sitting in 1903. The other half is sort of quite modern. I'm not as big a fan of it. But the food itself is Hardware Grill quality at about half the price.
Larry Stewart.
Thank you. He knows how to run that tablet.
I know how to search pretty quickly. I like Tavern as well. I've only sat on the 1903 side, the bar side. I thought the dishes were great and the portions were good and the ambiance was what I expected from, you know, a bit of a pub kind of place, right?
Well, the thing about Larry is he really has, he's got the bar very, very high. And he expects a whole pile of his waiters and staff. And also, this one's much more whimsical than Hardware Grill, too.
Yeah,
they do
more
some
creative
real fun
items.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And what's the, isn't there a cheese or something there that he's... It's a mozzarella?
Yeah, their mozzarella bar is like their key thing, their unique thing in the marketplace.
Now, is this something that he's copied from lots of other places if you go to other places? Or?
Yeah, I think mozzarella have been around for a while, sure. Okay. But it's new to Edmonton, right?
Yeah, and the mozzarella, like he found a supplier in Montreal or somewhere that he said it took him 3 years to find the right supplier, and now he flies this stuff in every day or something. So, but yeah, it's good.
It's really good. Yeah, I liked it. Another place I went, it's not on this list, but to segue a little bit, that we went recently that I was hoping would be somewhat similar because it describes itself as a gastropub, but I wasn't so impressed. It was Glass Monkey. It took over the old Jack's Grill location by Lendrum there. Have you been there yet?
Yep, and I got to semi-disagree with you.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good. Everything we had was just superb. And I thought the concept is absolutely fascinating. That there, it's sort of like a neighborhood pub, but it doesn't. It's not a gastro pub. It's a funny.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of a
weird.
You
think it's
going
to be kind of Irish, you know? Gastro pub for me brings up all these pubs that are trying to get a bit more on their menu. It's much more of a sort of a modern restaurant that has a nice curved bar on the corner and a very discreet TV and a few stools in that area, and the rest of it is almost reminiscent of Jack's Grill, which is its spiritual descendant, because it's in the same space, and these guys worked with Peter Jackson from Jack's Grill, which was a famous restaurant in the old days.
Yep.
But I thought, A, the food was great. B, they got it tailored so you kind of go through different times of the day. It opens at 3 o'clock. You can go for a drink after work. You can bring your family in because you have pizza. You know, appealing to the neighborhood.
I had pizza, actually.
You had pizza, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you want to go after a show or something, or if you're at Southgate late, you can pop over, and they stay open till midnight or 1 o'clock, and they have a terrific beer list and a terrific wine list. Yeah, I thought the food was really good.
I mean, I thought the food was good. Like, I didn't think it didn't blow me away or anything like that. I thought the space was a bit weird for what I was expecting. I guess the way you describe it makes sense, but you know, it seemed a little formal to me. There's wine glasses on the table, but then there's paper napkins, and you know, the tables are kind of, some are high, so you're sitting beside this table that's quite a bit higher than you because you're at a low table. I don't know, it just felt like a bit of an odd
space.
Well, it contributes to your experience, right? I think all those things, but, you know, the food was good. The food wasn't bad at all.
Prices were decent, too.
Except for the wine. I thought the wine was pretty expensive.
That was the other thing. They were doing the small plates.
Yeah, they're doing small plates, yeah.
And I think small plates are one of the really neat things that's happened the last couple of years in town.
Okay, on small plates, then, I want to segue to probably one of my favorite restaurants right now. It's the honorable mention on the best new restaurants. Izakaya Tomo. Have you been there?
Izakaya Tomo. I profess I haven't even heard it
until
this very
second. You've got to try it. You've got to try it. It's really, really great.
How do you spell that?
it's here.
Our listeners.
It's a Japanese restaurant down on 99th Street, okay, about 37th Avenue. It opened, I think, in December 2012.
Izakaya,
and then Tomo, Izakaya Tomo. And they do Japanese small plates, which is really, really
good. Isn't that what sushi's all about?
Well, but it's not just sushi, so I'm not a huge sushi fan.
Okay.
But they have these other dishes. Like, one of the things they have is a carbonara udon, which is such a strange dish. It's like a carbonara pasta, but with udon noodles. It is so good. It's really, really good. But the place is casual. You can go and you can get a beer, Japanese beer, have, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 small plates. Really, really good food.
Nice decor.
It's like a wooden kind of feel to it.
So how did you discover this place? Like, it's not on
Sharon,
the...
Sharon, I don't know.
Okay.
Sharon found it somehow. And
yeah, Sharon is Mac's wife, or about to be wife, sorry, and does know her food very well.
But
okay,
really,
I'll write
really,
that one down,
really,
and I'll have
good
to check
stuff.
It out.
Yep, that's one of my favorites for small plates.
But it hasn't made the Urban Spoon top 10 or anything like that yet.
I don't know, maybe not, but it's now on this Avenue list, so hopefully a few more people are introduced to it.
And that's another thing I want to bring up. I do like Urban Spoon. I think it's a pretty good indicator, and I especially like them because they publish all the reviews that I write and all the ones that Sharon does. The main bloggers all get their stuff in there under each restaurant.
Yep.
But I find that vote thing at the top, if you look at that thing, it's very accurate to my mind. If a restaurant gets over 75 or 80% likes, to me that's a good indication whatever it's serving, whatever market it's serving, it's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I find it interesting, too, that some restaurants that you might have gone to and had a really good experience gets about a 65 or a 62, and you go in and you try to figure out, like, why did they, you know, why did a lot of these people not like, and maybe it's a consistency question, but...
Yeah, sometimes I think it is, right? Somebody goes and has an amazing dish. You know, another new restaurant that people are pretty hung up about is North 53. And even that night, the dish that we ordered looked a lot bigger than the same dish that the table a few down from us ordered. Like,
that's
the portion sizes looked really inconsistent. I liked it. It was good. They certainly like to sous vide everything.
Yeah.
But it was good. And, you know, their unique thing is that everything is locally sourced, like,
Range
everything,
Road.
Right? They didn't use pepper because it's not local kind of thing. So even more militant than Range Road, I guess.
It's a cute angle, I guess, but I've been hearing good things about it. I always like to give restaurants, before I review, I like to give them a couple of months to kind of get settled in. I think it's kind of unfair to go within the next, unless they're doing a media opening and they're saying, come on in and try us out. Okay, then it's fair game, right?
Well, we try to do both. Like, what do they do when they start? And then, you know, 3 or 4 months in, go back and see what they've changed, what they've kept. Because by that point, you're right. They should
have streamlined. The great problem with weekly reviewing is, A, you do get eat out a good meal once a week, and B, I don't really like to go out more than once a week to eat, to be honest, you know, in terms of really fine food. You mean your stomach...
Yeah. Can only take
so
much.
and so, A, there's always a list of restaurants you want to get to, and B, the idea of going back, because you didn't, you know, two or three... I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. You walked in on that particular night, and they gave it to you. Hopefully, you're fairly anonymous. I do a reservation under my wife's name. And if they're under 40, they're not going to recognize me. And and so hopefully, you're not going to get any special treatment. Normally, the problem is if someone recognizes you, and then the gig's up, but they are going to do. But you're trying to get, and to my mind, I think that's fair, that you're still just, you're the average customer who walked in a certain night, and if the restaurant wasn't good that night, terribly sorry.
But
there's a famous time when you were at Millstones, right? That, you know, I felt I should do the big box restaurants once in a while.
Milestones, you mean?
Milestones, And they had some kind of disaster in the kitchen, and our food took like an hour and a half to get to the table. And I really did feel sorry for them. I mean, they were very apologetic and everything else, but I was reviewing, and here's this poor restaurant that had just a disastrous night in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I get this like 3-page email from one of the chefs who was on duty. I can't remember the circumstances now, but he was kind of semi-apologizing, semi-mad at the restaurant, semi-mad at himself. It was really quite bizarre.
That's strange, yeah. No, we try to be anonymous as well, but it gets hard, especially with the more people you get to know in the community, it becomes a little bit more difficult, but as I'm sure you know.
Exactly.
What other restaurants are you excited about?
These days, well, there's always, the thing is, it's always these brand new ones, like, you know, Woodwork, I want to check out. I'm hearing good things about it.
Yeah, I like Woodwork. It's a very simple menu, small number of items. You know, some of these new restaurants do way too many items. Woodwork has like 5 main dishes, and that's what you choose from, so it's good.
The one that has really made me curious, and it actually semi blew me away, is Stages in the new Doubletree.
Haven't been there.
Well, first of all, it's a hotel restaurant, and it's a big restaurant. It's got 300 seats. It got different areas and all that. And normally, like, hotel restaurant, right? These guys, like, I'm shortly going to be writing about it. It's the first, really, what I find in calling it modern Alberta. Like, they have really figured out, I'm not quite sure why it works better than most, but they've taken all the traditional stuff but played around with every one of them. And for instance, I had a short rib.
Right? Yep.
Well, I was talking with the chef afterwards. They spend like 15 hours slow cooking this stuff. They do all kinds of things to it, and it was fabulous. Right? And everything they're doing is kind of a little different, a little bit of a twist. And two reasons for this. The executive chef is Willie White, who's... a veteran in this town. He was very famous at the Hotel Mac many years ago, and then he did the, I think it's called Riverside Grill or whatever in St. Albert.
Okay.
So the man can really cook, and he knows his restaurants. And he's got a couple of sous chefs with him, or other chefs who are also top notch. I guess the hotel has given him his reign.
And it's called Stages?
Stages. It's a bit of a reference to the Mayfield Dinner Inn Theater, which is still called the Mayfield Dinner Inn Theater.
Yeah.
The whole rest of the hotel's been completely redone. It was the old Mayfield, but this restaurant is the best hotel restaurant I've eaten in years.
I'll have to give it a shot. So. Hopefully they can keep the consistency up. I remember a few years ago that Creations, on Gateway Boulevard or Calgary Trail in one of the new hotels.
Oh, yeah. It was really good for a while.
Really good, and then went downhill.
You know? Obviously, they got a new general manager in who was an accountant.
Yeah, maybe. So I hope they keep that up at stages, right? That should maybe be a bit of an easier draw because a lot of people like to go to the dinner theater there, right?
Yeah, and I've been told, I haven't had a chance to check it out, that they'd like to get the buffet, or it's rapidly coming back up to its old standards back in the, before you were born, young man. But back in the 80s and stuff, it had a fantastic buffet.
Okay,
and it's
cool.
Always just gently slipped. And now, apparently, it's getting a lot better.
Back, bringing it back.
Yeah.
Cool. Another restaurant I got to go to quite a bit lately, and I think it's, you know, as a downtown guy with a bunch of colleagues, you know, you need these efficient but good quality restaurants that can handle large groups. We went to Parlor on 108th Street. I've been there now like 4 times. Great experience every single time, whether it's small party or big party.
Glad to hear that.
They've really taken care of us. Yeah.
Glad to hear that, because that's one of those weird ones in Urban Spoon. It's been getting about 65, 66, and I've been there a couple times, and like you, I've had a delightful experience. And I also appreciate what they do for who they are. Like they deliberately stay about 30% off the leading edge. It's food for the masses, but I was thinking you could take, if you're a real foodie gourmet person, you could take your grandma and grandpa there and you could all find something that you liked. It was quite interesting, you know.
Yeah, that's pizza, pasta. And they've done some fancy stuff where they, you know, went off and got a chef from Italy who came over and he's trained in the Neapolitan style, but they decided actually that they didn't like the specific kind of tomato you need to use to be certified, so they chose a different one. So, you know, I like that they're not so crazy on the, you know, rigid rules for how food should be, and they create something that's a bit more approachable, right?
Well, I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed the Parlor, because I was very puzzled about why are some people not getting a good experience. But And also, you always have to be careful. That's one where I've known everybody that's involved with that group for years.
Yeah, me too.
And so you always kind of figure, are they going to take extra good care of you kind of thing? But good.
I think it's hard to do, though, when you bring 20 people in like I did the one night.
And that is true.
It was still a good experience.
And they managed to get the food out fast?
Food was out normal speed. Like, it didn't seem like it took a long time at all. Everybody was well taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have the space for that, too, which is something you need. And, you know, some of these restaurants don't have. I love places like, you know, Three Boars, but until they expanded, they just didn't have room for any more than 2 or 3 people, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you wouldn't dare go with more than 3 people. You'd never find a place.
Yeah.
Talking of favorite restaurants, I'm still Cafe Amore. They are amazing.
Yes. If you're about done listening to us, just go eat at Cafe Amore right now.
And why is it?
And get that big pasta dish. What is it, the pecatore or whatever?
Oh. They're all good.
Amazing.
And like there's a billion good Italian restaurants in town. I could never quite figure out what separates them from the pack. What is it that they do so well? And I think it's just every dish is just like, well, it's got tons of butter, and, you know, forget the diet. It's really rich stuff. And they have the soup lady, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the soup lady is the owner's wife, I think, I'm not quite sure what, but she is, everyone calls her the soup lady because their soups are amazing.
And I like that they treat you like family. Like, you feel like you're in a movie or something because they, like, shake your hand and they when you come in. And
it's real, like, you know, New York kind of style, right?
Yeah,
there's tons of little tables. Oh, like, you're going to, if you put out your elbow, you're going to jab the guy next to you, right? But,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I like that place.
Now you're making me hungry.
That is a great place. If you haven't checked that one out, check that one out. All right, well, maybe final thing we should touch on, just since it's not quite spring yet, but we're getting close. And that means food trucks will be back out. Do you have any favorite food trucks?
I'm not as, well, first of all, my hat's off to you because you do an awful job to promote these guys and love them, but I still slightly prefer the sit-down experience, the total ambiance. I'm not enough of an expert to say. I've tried a few of them, and they're all pretty good. I mean, the one thing about those guys is they got to do well because they've only got like 2 or 3 things every day, right?
And they can only compete on the food. They don't have the sit-down and the service and the rest of it, right?
How do you make it work when you only got a 4-month season?
Well, some of them do catering in the winter. Some of them have a restaurant. Like the Next Stack obviously has their pub and soon to have their new restaurant right next door, Meat for Dinner, I think it's called. So
yeah.
That'll be good. So some of them do that. Some of them go on long vacations. I don't know. just an avenues list, Drift was first. Sailing On was the runner-up. They do really interesting stuff. They're all vegan. So they do like a coconut bacon that people
Sailing
just
on.
Love. Yeah, Sailing On. It's a good truck. You should try that one.
Okay.
And the honorable mention was the ACT food truck, which is the folks the that next do the act, pub.
Yeah. Is it like their, I mean, the Next Act's pretty traditional food.
Their burgers and stuff, I think, are their key thing. They do some pretty popular burgers in the truck, like a PB&J burger and stuff like that.
So. Can't go wrong with burgers.
Yeah. So I lied. There's one final thing. we were looking at Wear magazine, and we realized that one of the new features they have are the 5 best spots for mac and cheese in Edmonton.
Well, there's an iPod that has great mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese. It's a delicious comfort dish. Do you have a favorite place in Edmonton?
I don't like mac and cheese.
Don't like
it? Don't understand this. Other than the show, I don't understand why anybody would want to eat mac and cheese as a gourmet food. Like, it's Kraft. It's 25 cents.
Just want to stick to KD.
If you got to eat it.
If you got. But everybody's eating.
I don't
it
get
at some
pasta.
Point.
I don't get pasta. I don't find pasta particularly interesting.
Any pasta.
It's heresy, I realize. Sorry, all the Italian guys out there that are now going to slice my throat. But to me, pasta's not all that interesting. And
fair enough. Not
cheese,
for everybody.
I eat lots of cheese, too, and this is all very standard. So what's your favorite mac and cheese after I blasted the whole idea?
No, it's totally cool. You know, my favorite actually would have to be homemade, because then you can load it up with pounds and
We're
pounds
not
of cheese.
We're talking homemade here.
I don't know if I have a favorite. I do like Blue Plate Diner's mac and cheese, and they're number one on the Wear list. Theirs is a bit of a different take. It's not as it's not traditional macaroni. It's like a different kind of pasta, but it's good and it's consistent, which is good. And then all of the food trucks do, a lot of them anyway, do a mac and cheese. Smokehouse does a pretty good mac and cheese in the summer. So that's what I look forward
There's
to.
There's no accounting for your taste, Mac. Here's this guy. He gets to go out to like the best gourmet restaurants in town, and now he wants to wax poetic on mac and cheese.
I just love it. It just makes me happy.
Should we respect him, Adam? I don't know.
And actually, I'll finish with this on mac and cheese. Best value from a food truck, probably mac and cheese from Bully. They're the big orange food truck. Mm-hmm. It's $5. It is a massive serving of really tasty mac and cheese.
Well, it only costs 2 cents to make.
It's good quality cheese, man. Okay. And you know, buying cheese every week for this show, cheese is not cheap.
I have a confession.
Here it comes.
I forgot to buy. Well, I knew we were talking about it so much that we really wouldn't be in the mood to eat.
No cheese this week.
We probably missed out, and then we'll sit back, we'll turn off this show, and they'll say, oh, what about such and such, or I should have mentioned such and such. Right? Well, we'll do this again in 6 months. How's that?
Well, and that's why people can read your column in The Sun, or your reviews in The Sun, and your blog, and your Twitter, right?
That's right. And all your wife's blogs and my reviews all show up in the Urban Spoon restaurants that we go to. So how about Yelp? Do they do a good job on restaurant reviews?
Seems to be a pretty active community in Edmonton that does it. I don't personally check it very often, so I'm not so sure. I know the restaurant chefs and owners they like to criticize Yelp for the reviews and stuff that people post. But
well, I must
I'm
have
sure
a good look at them
and
see.
Too.
Oh, they all criticize when they get bad ones, right?
Oh yes, definitely. So get out there and enjoy some of Edmonton's great restaurants.
That's right, and don't complain. We got way too many good restaurants.
It's another episode of Mac and Cheese. You can check us out at macandcheese.ca.